Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Parikshit Curse by a Brahmin Boy, Text 22. Yatra anurakta sahasaiva dira vyapoya dehadishu sangam utam vajanti tat parama hamsyam antyam Yasmin Ahimsa Pashamaha Svadharmaha Yata Anurakta Sahasaiva Dira Vyapoya Dehadishu Sangamudham Vajanti tat paramahamsya mantyam. Yasmin ahim so pashama svadharmaha. Yata anurakta sahasaiva dira. Vyapoya dehadishu sangamudham. Vajanti tat paramahamsya mantyam. Yasmin ahim so pashama svadharmaha. Yata anurakta sahasaiva dira. Vyapoya dehadishu sangamudham. Vajanti tat paramahamsya mantyam. Yasmin ahim so pashama svadharma. Sangam Vajanti tat paramahamsya mantyam. Yasmin ahim so pashama svadharmaha. Anurakta sa saiva dira. Vyapoya dehadishu sangamudham. Vajanti tat paramahamsya mantyam. Sangamudham Vajanti tat paramahamsya mantyam. Yata anurakta sahasaiva dira. Vyapoya dehadishu sangamudham. Vajanti tat paramahamsya mantyam. Pati Sarukam and Rambarama. Yatanurakta Sasaivadira. Koya Dehani Susangamadham. Pachanti Tat Paramahamsa Madhyam. Yasminayim Sho Pashama Swadharmaha. Vaishnavis. Sangamudham Janti Tad Paramahamsya Matyam Yasmin Prati Sokamanam Dharmaha. Yachanurakta Sasaivadira. Yapoya dehani susangamudham. Mantitat paramahamsimantyam. Yasmina him so pashama swadharmaham. Vyapoya dehani susangamudham. Vajanti tat paramahamsya mantyam. Yatra unto whom anuraktaha, firmly attached, sa-sa, all of a sudden, eva, certainly, diraha, self-controlled, vyapoya, leaving aside, deha, the gross body and subtle mind, adishu, relating to, sangam, attachment. Udham, taken to. Vajanti, go away. Tat, that. Paramahamsyam, the highest stage of perfection. Aniyam, and beyond that. Yasmin, in which. Ahimsa, nonviolence. Upashamaha, and renunciation. Swadharmaha, consequential occupation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Self-controlled persons who are attached to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, can all of a sudden give up the world of material attachment, including the gross body and subtle mind, and go away to attain the highest perfection of the renounced order of life, by which nonviolence and renunciation are consequential. Purport. Only the self-controlled can gradually be attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Self-controlled means not indulging in sense enjoyment more than is necessary. And those who are not self-controlled are given over to sense enjoyment. Dry philosophical speculation is the subtle sense enjoyment of the mind. Sense enjoyment leads one to the path of darkness. Those who are self-controlled can make progress on the path of liberation from the conditional life of material existence. The Vedas therefore enjoin that one should not go to the path of darkness, but should make a progressive march towards the path of light or liberation. Self-control is actually achieved not by artificially stopping the senses from material enjoyment, but by becoming factually attached to the Supreme Lord, by engaging one's unalloyed senses in the transcendental service of the Lord. The senses cannot be forcibly curbed, but they can be given proper engagement. Purified senses, therefore, are always engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. This perfectional stage of sense engagement is called bhakti yoga. So those who are attached to the means of bhakti yoga are factually self-controlled and can all of a sudden give up their homely or bodily attachment for the service of the Lord. This is called the Paramahamsa stage. Hamsas or swans accept only milk out of a mixture of milk and water. Similarly, those who accept the service of the Lord instead of Maya's service are called the Paramahamsas. They are naturally qualified with all the good attributes such as pridelessness, freedom from vanity, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, respectability, worship, devotion, and sincerity. All these godly qualities exist in the devotee of the Lord spontaneously. Such Paramahamsas who are completely given up to the service of the Lord are very rare. They are very rare even amongst the liberated souls. Real nonviolence means freedom from envy. In this world, everyone is envious of his fellow being. But a perfect Paramahamsa, being completely given up to the service of the Lord, is perfectly non-envious. He loves every living being in relationship with the Supreme Lord. Real renunciation means dependence on God. Every living being is dependent on someone else because he is so made. Actually, everyone is dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. But when one forgets his relationship with the Supreme Lord, he becomes dependent on the conditions of material nature. Renunciation means renouncing one's dependence on the conditions of material nature and thus becoming completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Real independence means complete faith in the mercy of the Lord without dependence on the conditions of matter. This Paramahamsa stage is the highest perfectional stage in bhakti yoga, the process of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse again, self-controlled persons who are attached to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, can all of a sudden give up the world of material attachment, including the gross body and subtle mind, and go away to attain the highest perfection of the renounced order of life by which nonviolence and renunciation are consequential. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that one should not go on the path of darkness, but should go on the path of light. And that connection, you know, he many times repeats the Vedic mantra, Tamasi Ma Jyotirgama, which literally means, don't go to the darkness, go to the light. And usually in connection with that statement, he gives another similar statement from the Upanishads, Asato Ma Satgama. So, Sura and the temple bhajan band often sing that, Asato Ma Satgamaya, right? So, that means don't go to the asat. Sat means truth, asat means non-truth or illusion. So, don't become attached to the temporary, illusory, material energy, but go to the absolute truth, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So, next, you know, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the senses should be engaged in Krishna's service. That will naturally control them. One shouldn't artificially try to withdraw the senses from the sense objects. Sarvo Padivinir Muktam Tatpara Trainanir Malam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchite. So that statement means one should become freed from all types of external identification with the material body. One should identify oneself as the eternal servant of Krishna and engage the senses in the devotional service of the Lord. And that is the real definition of devotional service. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Param Jasva Nivartate. You know, in that verse it says, one may try to artificially control the senses, but as long as the taste for sense enjoyment remains in the heart, one won't be successful. So the real process for controlling the senses is not to try to withdraw them from their sense objects, but to engage the senses in the devotional service of the Lord. Use the sense of hearing for hearing the holy name and the pastimes of the Lord. Use the eyes for seeing everything in connection with Krishna, or to see the form of the Archa Vigraha, the deity, form of the Lord. Use the tongue to taste Krishna's prasadam, and so on. You can use all of the senses in Krishna's service, and that is real sense control. Then Srila Prabhupada mentions real nonviolence means freedom from envy. So these two things are mentioned in this verse, ahimsa, nonviolence, and upashamaha, renunciation. So Srila Prabhupada says nonviolence means non-envious. So these two things are there. We should become freed from envy, and we should become freed from attachment to material sense gratification. And these two things are the reason we are here in the material world. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ichcha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarvabhutani Samoham Sarge Yante Parantapaha. Because of desire and hatred, you know, Srila Prabhupada translates that verse in the Bhagavad Gita that way, desire and hatred. Because of those two things, living beings are in illusion, and because of that, they must enter. Sarga yanti parantapa. Sarga means the material world, the creation. They must enter the material creation because they have hatred for Krishna and they have a desire to enjoy themselves separately from Krishna. Now, elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada gives translations of that verse from Bhagavad Gita in which he says dvesha means envy. So, envy and attachment to material sense gratification. Devotees must become free from these two things. So, envy is the feeling that one gets when one compares oneself to another person and is very unhappy because the other person has qualities or abilities or a status that one desires for oneself and doesn't have. So one can become malicious towards that other personality and desire to cause harm to them. And that's why this concept of envy is connected with another phenomenon called Schadenfreude in German. It means you take pleasure at seeing other people in distress. Like when you see the person that you're envious of, something bad happens to them, you become happy. Now, generally it's said that a Vaishnava, a devotee of the Lord, should be paradukhi dukkha. The devotee becomes unhappy at seeing the unhappiness of other people and becomes merciful and compassionate to them. But sometimes we become paradukha sukhi. We become happy at seeing the distress of others. Now there's another phenomenon connected with envy. It's mentioned in a few places in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and that is self-envy. One can become envious of one's own self. For example, in the chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita, verse 8, the chapter about the divine and the demoniac natures, there's a description of the demoniac personality. And Srila Prabhupada says, the demoniac person becomes envious of his own self. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, sixth canto, in the history of King Chitraketu, there's a verse that states that any system of religion other than pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhakti Yoga, is actually a system for envy of oneself and others. In the Sanskrit, I think it's swaparadruha. Sva means oneself, para means others, druha means to become envious. That term is also used in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Atmadruk. You know, one becomes envious of one's self. So, what does that actually mean? You become envious of your own self. Means we become envious of the real self, the soul. Jivaras rupahoi krishnera nityadas, Lord Chaitanya would say. And that means by nature we are meant to be devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, sometimes we become envious of that real self. We hate that self. No, don't be good. I'm not going to be good. I'm not going to serve Krishna. And with the false ego, we become envious of the real self and act to destroy it. So, this is a phenomenon that psychologists have noticed in this present age. You know, they call it the selfie age. And it's manifest in social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, where people present an idealized picture of their lives. Here's me with my wonderful friends. Here's me at Disneyland. Or, and what happens is they're always comparing themselves with others. And on the internet, you can compare yourself with thousands and thousands and thousands of other people. What they look like, what they're doing, how much money they have, what success they've had. And then you try to present your own image. Is this what you're saying? Is that all right? So, and what happens is we try to present on our Facebook page, our Twitter feed, our Instagram profile, that we're having a wonderful time. Everything is going great. Everything is going just fine. But what psychologists say is that many people, they become envious of the self that they've created on social media. Like, why can't my whole life be like that? Like, the image that I'm trying to present. And then there's the standard kind of envy. Say, I write books, I give lectures, I have videos on YouTube. So, I look at my video, I see it's got 18,000 hits on it. And I see another author has 18 million hits on his. So I go, the Latin root for the word envy is invidia. It means one becomes blind. We become blind to what Krishna has given us. You know, we can't be satisfied with our position. You know, we want somebody else's position. So these are all manifestations of envy, and we have to become freed from these different manifestations of envy. There is a kind of spiritual envy, transcendental envy, that Srila Prabhupada would talk about. And even, you know, the mundane psychologists, they understand there's kind of malicious envy, which is very bad and very destructive to oneself and to others, where you either become self-destructive or you become angry at others and try to take them down because of envy. But even on the mundane level, they recognize that there's a kind of healthy envy where, oh, you see someone has had some success, and it inspires you in a non-malicious way to try to do better yourself. And Srila Prabhupada would often refer to this kind of envy, either in the society of devotees or in the spiritual world. So he would say sometimes about the devotees in his movement that it's okay. There's always going to be competition. There's always going to be feelings like that. But it should inspire you. Oh, my God brother or God sister has pleased Krishna so nicely. Let me also try to please Krishna nicely. Or he would refer to the spiritual world. One gopi will see another gopi has pleased Krishna in some wonderful way and will think, let me also please Krishna in a wonderful way or an even better way. So it's non-malicious kind of envy. So, you know, that may be there. And a final point Srila Prabhupada makes is one should, real independence means becoming independent from the conditions of matter. So that's real independence. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions, comments? Yes, Vishaka.
In the purport, Prabhupada mentions hamsas or swans accept only milk out of a mixture of milk and water. Can you explain how hamsas or swans do that?
Can I explain how the swans take milk out of water, out of a mixture of milk and water? I can't explain how they do it. I just know that they do it based on the statement of my spiritual master. So I really don't know how they do it. I can't do it.
Is it something that's been
noticed? I'm not a Paramahamsa.
Is it something that's been noticed by anybody? But
you know, that would have to be researched to see if it's an actual phenomenon that any biologist or zoologist or ornithologist has looked into. I'm not aware of any such studies, but I really haven't searched the scientific literature on it.
And when it mentions milk, are they talking literally what comes from a cow, or is it some other sort of milk?
So the question is, when Srila Prabhupada mentions milk, is it mean milk from the cow or from some other animal? Again, I'll have to admit, I don't know. Does anybody know? Do you know, Karta? Might.
I heard one devotee say that the milk referred to what's inside the lotus stem. If you squeeze a lotus stem, a white substance comes out. And that was what this devotee understood as the milk.
Okay, very good. Okay, we'll go to this side and then next that side.
In the analysis that you gave, the explanation that you gave, that healthy envy or competition, it's like permitted in a sense. I was thinking that in the conditioned stage, sometimes, like being neophytes, even if we have that access, it can damage sometimes. I've been observing sometimes in our societies, you know, like especially book distribution, how devotees told we have license to do this. It's permitted. It's in the scripture. So our guru said that. And that can be in any subject, like cooking or dressing the deities. And so my question would be, how can you check that actually? How can you actually, or maybe you can expand a little bit more in that, that doesn't become in the name of, like, there is room for that, but I can actually be affected, and I sin, you know, sometimes.
It's a good question. The basic principle is trinad api sunechena taror api sahishnuna amanina manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, that a devotee should be humble, lower than the straw on the street, more tolerant than a tree, not desiring respect for oneself, but giving respect to others. So, if that's the basic mood, then there shouldn't be any problem, but the principle in this verse is one should, in the purport, is one should become free of envy that is malicious. So the standard that Srila Prabhupada gave is, oh, my god brother or god sister has done something wonderful for Krishna's service. Let me learn from that devotee. Let me also come to that standard. And not in a malicious way, but you're right. In the name of transcendental envy or spiritual envy, if there is some selfish motive, some malice may enter into it, and that's not helpful. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, I was thinking that, to consider that there could be something that's good about envy could be dangerous, because actually everything runs on a spectrum. So you have at one end, you have envy, which is malicious. On the complete opposite side, you have admiration or the desire to emulate and to grow in the direction of that person. So to consider having healthy envy is just a misuse of the word envy, because envy is a dark and negative emotion which we really need to avoid. And there was something else I was going to say, but I forgot. Sorry.
Okay, nice point.
Regarding yourself and I guess the part of you that wants to envy your higher self, what you had said about that, I just wonder how to differentiate, and maybe this kind of goes with his question, but differentiate striving for that or being in envy of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think you put it in a nice way, that there's the higher self, our identity as eternal, loving servants of Krishna. And then there's our lower self, the self that we encounter because of false ego, as independent enjoyers in competition with others. So I think you expressed it very nicely. There's that higher self and there's that lower self, and we're kind of sometimes striving for that higher self, but then the lower self will say, no, we don't want to do that. And we'll kind of take us in another direction. So that, and we develop a negative attitude towards our own higher self. And we don't want to go there. We don't want to. So that's, I think, the definition of self-envy. Okay. Yeah, he had.
Psychologists say, talk about dual personality disorder, like some people have.
Dual personality disorder.
Yes, or multiple personality disorder. So, sometimes I think, most of us have also this disorder. One is, as she mentioned, one is that Jeev Nitya Krishna Das, one personality is this, and one is that I want to enjoy or I want. So there are two personalities. So all of us have this suffering from dual personality disorder?
We have a personality disorder in the material world because we're identifying with a self that is ultimately not our real self. Our real self is Jivaras Rupahoi Krishnara Nityadas. We are eternal loving servants of Krishna. That is our real identity. But we've forgotten that, and we've identified with the material body that we have been given in this material world. So that's a personality disorder.
And we can cure that.
Yes. It's like we're in a state of amnesia. You know, sometimes in a hospital, somebody will have amnesia. They forget who they are. And they have to be gradually brought back to their real sense of identity. Here's your mother. Here's your father. And they may also be paralyzed. You know, they have to be taught to use their senses again, how to walk, how to pick up things. So we're kind of like in that condition. We've got amnesia and we're paralyzed and we need rehabilitation.
So
psychologically and physically.
So process of bhakti yoga can help cure this dual personality disorder?
Yes, it can cure the personality disorder. Yes. Okay, one more and then we'll stop.
You mentioned that your preaching is extended to YouTube, but I saw that you're also on Netflix. There's an alien, Ancient Aliens.
Oh, the Ancient Aliens
has
series.
Now come to Netflix. Sudhakarma is on Netflix. His preaching has gone from...
But some people have more time on the show than I did. I only got...
But it doesn't... You're there.
I only got 2 minutes. And they gave more time to other people. I'm envious.
But you're on the cover page banner. They're showing your picture on the cover page banner.
Oh, they are. Okay. Now I feel better. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.